I remain standing with me in honor of God's Word as we have our Scripture reading. Today we read from Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to be reading the first four verses. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning there in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You may be seated. Well, we have the privilege of having in our fellowship Dr. Bill Fox, and I've asked him to bring the message this morning.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, sir.
It's good to be here with you this morning. At my age, it's good to be anywhere. But I'm glad to be here, and I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about a question that relates to what the pastor talked with us last Sunday about, but is a little different emphasis. And I also want to tell you that I have lost my glasses temporarily, that is, the ones that make me see real good. And so I have the ones that I normally wear. And I don't see quite so good with them. But, well, that was the wrong way. So let's go back, see if I can figure this out. There we go. Okay. So if I can hold my hand on that button, I'll be okay. And if I keep from pulling the mic loose, I'll be even better. So the question is today, do you believe? And as I say that, I'm not just talking about do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but a number of other things as well. And so we want to look at that. What does the Bible say about what I believe? Because the Bible has some important things about what we believe and what we should even do about those things which we believe. And so today we want to look at that. And we want to talk a little bit about that question, what does the Bible say about what I believe? And the first question is, if I can get my notes in the right order here, I'll look up at the screen maybe. And the question that we see today is, what about the truth? What does the Bible say about truth, and what do I believe about truth? And with that in mind, I want to show you that the Bible has some important things to say about truth. It says that, first of all, God has spoken through His Word. You heard the pastor read that earlier. I don't know why this is getting ahead of me here, but I'll try and get caught up. God has spoken through His Word. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this, God, who at different times or various times, as the pastor read, and in different ways, has spoken in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You remember that the Old Testament has a number of prophets and books by the prophets. And these were men who came to Israel specifically and told them what God's will for them was and reminded them of God's will when they had forgotten. But Hebrews chapter 1 says, now God has spoken to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a story in the New Testament that just touches my heart every time I read it. And that's the story of the Lord Jesus after He rose from the dead, walking on the road to Emmaus with the two people. And I don't know whether you've thought about this in this way or not, but that passage of Scripture says when the two disciples were concerned about he who was supposed to be king over Israel was now dead and gone and away from their lives as far as they knew. The Lord Jesus didn't say right away, well, I'm back. No. It says, beginning at Moses, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets, he expounded unto them all things about himself revealed in those scriptures. I think about that and I think, man, that must have been quite a walk. Because the Lord Jesus didn't have the New Testament and the Pauline epistles. He had only the Old Testament that these disciples were familiar with. Of course, he knew what was coming in the New Testament, but he only had to explain to them the Old Testament. And they listened to him as he expounded all things about the about himself in the Old Testament. That's amazing to me because I've looked at a number of passages in the Old Testament that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I certainly haven't looked at all of them. But for them to have that opportunity from the master teacher to hear about all of that just amazes me and thrills my heart because I know that the Lord did a fantastic job and went through all the passages to see what, to tell them what that was. So what God says is the absolute truth. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, if you'll give me a moment, I've got these printed out in a little large print so I can see them because I can't see my Bible this morning. So I'll read this verse to you. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God who cannot lie. That's the truth. That's what the Word of God reveals, and that's what God says. And so when somebody comes to you, as a member of my church did in the past, well, I believe God's Word, but I don't believe the account of creation. Well, then you don't believe God's Word. Because God's Word says, this is how God created the world. And so every aspect of this is important. And he went on to say, well, you know, I read about carbon dating and how old the rocks are, and that doesn't match with the account of God's Word. So I asked him a question. I said, if you were in the Garden of Eden and cut down one of the trees, do you think the trees would have rings in them? Well, yeah, I guess so. And if you met up with Adam and Eve, would they look like they were 2 days old, or would they be full-grown people? Well, I guess they'd be full grown. I said, don't you think the Lord took care of that with regard to the rocks? He gave apparent age to the trees and the people. Wouldn't he give apparent age to the rocks? Just in order that you would have to believe God's word and not take everything else for granted. So it's important to believe God's word and know that is the truth. What God is the absolute truth. In John chapter 4, verse 6, it says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thank you, Pastor. You better just keep up with me because I can't run this remote very good. So anyway, what God is the absolute truth. You know, those of you that watch television once in a great while, see Franklin Graham every so often. I'm amazed at the fact that every time he's interviewed on television, this is one of the passages of Scripture that he gets around to. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the truth. That's the truth. You can talk all about and listen to other people talk about, well, there's a number of different ways and we're all going to heaven. No, we're not. Apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to heaven. So it's important to know that. I'll try this one more time, Pastor, and see if I get it right. Well, that one didn't work. There it is. Okay. what I believe allows God to act in my behalf. First of all, as we believe, God gives us freedom. The scripture says in John 3:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does he mean by that? Well, before we were saved, we were slaves to sin. Does a slave have a choice as to whether he shows up for work or not? No. He is a slave. That's what he does, is work every day for his master. And as sinners, we are slaves to sin. But God gives us freedom. Now, if we sin, it's a matter of our will. If we follow God, it's a matter of our will. God has given us that freedom. So it's important to know that. When we believe, God gives us life. Now, I have cited in your notes Acts 16:31, which uses Christian terminology, so to speak. But I think maybe more important is John 3:16, which is well known to you as well. It says, for God so loved the world. Everybody understands love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How long does everlasting last? Forever. And what do you do to get it? If somebody gives you a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. That's all you have to do is receive it. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to, even as the song says, be a good person or whatever. All you have to do is receive it. That's what God gives to you as eternal life. And like a friend of mine who had been a policeman with me for a number of years, when I presented that to him, I said, would you like to receive the gift? He said, a person would be a fool not to. That's right. That's right. But there are going to be a number of foolish people in hell because they want to try and earn their way to heaven. God says it's a free gift. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins, and all I have to do is receive that. And that's important to understand. And then when we believe, God answers our prayer. John chapter 16, verse 24. Let me see if I can see that here on my sheet. But you can turn to it anyway. John chapter 16, verse 24. Here it is, here. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know, I'm convinced, I don't know everything I'd like to know about prayer, and one day I'm going to have a chance to talk to the Lord about how prayer works. But if I understand my Bible correctly, God doesn't change his mind. He's already got it made up. He already knows what's going to happen. And so when I pray, I don't change God's mind. What I do change is my mind. I get to the point where I will accept God's will. And that's what the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples. Ask for what is God's will and what will glorify God, and your joy will be full. Because there's nothing greater than receiving God's will in your life. You may want a number of things, but eventually God works in your heart and he opens it to receiving what he wants for you. And that's what counts. When we believe, God answers our prayer. And then, it's also important to know, let me get the page turned here, that the question, what is truth, asked by many today in their search for truth, and was asked, you remember, by Pilate when he was trying the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? John chapter 18, verse 38 is where that is, and that is answered by God himself. God is truth. Therefore, every member of the Godhead is truth and speaks the truth. I don't know what that was, but I'll get picked up here in a moment. That was my magnifying glass that fell off. Anyway, God is truth. Every member of the Godhead is truth and speaks the truth. Therefore, God's word is truth. John 17, verse 17 talks about that, that the word of God is truth. Thank you, honey. Do I look sound like I need that? God's word is truth. And therefore, when God's word says, for instance, in Job, that as far as the east is from the west, is that in Job? No, that's another reference in Job. But anyway, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. You know, it's interesting that when you start going east, you never stop. You keep going east. Go all the way around the world. If you go north, you'll eventually get to the North Pole. And then you'll start going south. How did the Lord know to say east from west? Because God knows everything. And his word is absolutely true. There's a number of things that you can find out like that. The verse I'm thinking of in Job talks about the world being round. Apparently, Christopher Columbus never read that. But, you know, if he'd read it and taken it for truth, he'd have known that he wouldn't eventually fall off the end of the earth, that the world was round. God's word says that. And we need to understand that truth. We may therefore have confidence in God's word and believe it. And then the third thing we see today is that what I believe should cause me to act. That's the most important part of belief. What I believe should cause me to act. The concept is that biblical belief or trust should cause action. Psalm 37, verse 3 says that. Psalm 37, verse 3. Let me just turn this page over and I'll read that to you. Psalm 37, verse 3 says this: trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This was a promise that David repeated that had been given to Israel. If Israel wanted to stay in the land, they were to trust in the Lord and do good. It's important to believe what God has promised. And God promised this to Israel. If they would obey him, that they would have the land. And say in it, one day yet to come, God will completely fulfill that promise because Israel will believe in God. It's important to understand that truth. I got a rig up here, but maybe if I hurry up and get done, it'll quit. It's also important when we do not allow belief to cause the right action, we sin. Did you ever think about that? When we believe something and don't act on it, we sin. Because the verse says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, unfortunately, you're all in a difficult situation now because you've been here this morning and heard God's word, I hope. And we have talked about the fact that when you say you believe something, it's important to do it. So from now on, in that aspect, whatever you have learned from God's word, you're accountable for. And God will say, you remember that message that guy Bill Fox preached? I know he wasn't much of a preacher, but he reminded you that when you believe something, you have to act on it. That's true. God teaches us his truth in order that it may change our lives. That's the whole goal, in order that we may glorify God through our lives. And many times we think, well, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to. Well, you know what? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's word says your purpose is to glorify God. That's what we're here to do. And so I have to examine my heart every day and say, is what I'm doing for my purpose or for God's glory? That's what's important. Living for God's glory. That's what we're here for. When we say we believe something but do not act on it, we actually do not believe it. The story is told of a tightrope walker who was performing in a small town between the two tallest buildings. And he walked across the tightrope. And then he carried a chair, you've probably heard this story, carried a chair across the tightrope and back. And then he said, now having seen that, how many think that I could carry somebody in the chair? Well, a number of people raised their hands. He said, which of you is going to volunteer? All the hands went down. Why? Because they'd said they believed it, but weren't willing to act on it. If we have faith and trust in God, we will volunteer to sit in that chair, so to speak. We will volunteer for what he calls us to do. Because you see, James chapter 2, verse 17 says this, Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James was written so that I might know that I have faith. It's not for you to evaluate me. It's for you to evaluate yourself and me to evaluate me. The way I know that I have faith in God is when I see myself doing things that I wouldn't ordinarily have faith enough to do. Faith produces works in my life. That's what I evaluate myself on. And that's the lesson of the book of James, so that we can evaluate ourselves. And the issue is, in the book of James, if faith does not act on what it knows, it's not really faith. That's the encouragement that we see today. God calls upon us to act on what we believe. And so when you hear a message in church or Sunday school, or you listen on television, and the speaker says, I want you to be willing to do this, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. The question is, do you really trust in God? That's what's important. That our trust be a confidence of the one who has control. That the trust that we say we have is committed to the one who knows how the world is created. He knows not only the past, but the future. He controls everything. And even the events of the world today, God is in control of. He is programming things, or has programmed them in such a way that eventually the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Eventually, even before that, we as believers will be taken to heaven to be with him, and judgment will fall on the earth. Now, we've already seen what we would consider pretty harsh judgment, but that's nothing in comparison to what God has promised. And so it's important to have faith in God and be willing to share with our neighbor why we believe, to be willing to share with our friends what it is we believe. And as I've said before, and some of you that come on Thursday nights hear this every so often, it starts with what I talked about earlier, that heaven is a free gift. It is not earned or deserved. You don't have to be a good person, so to speak, before God accepts you into heaven, because nothing will make God accept you other than faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what counts. That's what God's Word says. And that's why Franklin Graham continued to repeat, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," the Lord Jesus said. So understand that truth. And if you do not today know Christ as Savior, accept the gift. You don't have to do anything. You know what? You don't even have to come to Grace Church of Lockford. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. But if you need help knowing why this is true, you can talk to me, you can talk to the pastor, you can talk to any number of people that are here that will be willing to sit down with you and help you know from God's Word that when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift, you are given, what does John 3:16 says? Everlasting life. It's life that lasts forever. That's what's important. And then, as you live the Christian life, you don't have to try and be a good person, because God has given you the Holy Spirit, and He will enable you, as you trust in Him, to live the way God wants you to. A person asked me one time, "Well, what if I sin and the Holy Spirit doesn't remind me?" That's not your problem. The Holy Spirit knows sin, and He'll remind you when it offends Him. What you have to do is to be willing to yield to Him, and then He'll help you live in such a way as to honor and glorify Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can have complete trust in Your Word. Thank You, Father, that we know that You are the truth and that Your Word is true. And we pray, Father, today that You will enable us as we live our lives to trust in Your Word, to understand all that Your Word has said about today and the signs of the times, and to have confidence in the fact that Your coming will be when You have determined it should be, and judgment will not fall completely until that day takes place and we are at home with You. Bless and help us day by day, and minister to us, we pray. Thank You for this church. Thank You for this pastor. And thank You for these people. Minister to each one as they go their way home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.